ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. Today from Srimad Bhagavatam canto 10 chapter 14 text number 19. Ajantam tvattapadavim anantanamanai Ajantam tvattapadavim anatmani Atatmana bhasi vittaya mayam Atatmatmana bhasi vittaya mayam Shrishtva iham jagato vidhana Shrishtva viham jagato vidhananam Iva tvam eshwana iva tretrana Iva tvam eshwana tva iva trinetra
Yes, please. Grace. The Dayanand Swami. To persons ignorant of our actual transcendental position, you appear as part of the material world, manifesting yourself by the expansion of your inconceivable energy. Thus, for the creation of the universe, you appear as me, Brahma. For its maintenance, you appear as yourself, Vishnu. And for its annihilation, you appear as Lord Trinetra, Shiva. Please repeat after me. Although the impersonal Mayavadi philosophers think that the demigods are illusory, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu are stated here to be expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are thus real. Indeed, they are the extraordinarily powerful controllers of the universe. The ultimate truth is a supreme and beautiful person, and thus, throughout the creation of God, we will always find the personal touch. Very beautiful. Although the impersonal Mayavadi philosophers think that the demigods are illusory. So now the translations ended and we have the translation and purport by Radharan Goswami Maharaj. I once more read the purport. Nashta prayasho badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regularly attending the class of Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service for the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. How does the Supreme Personality of Godhead look? Let us see. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.5 Barha pidam natavar vapahu karnayo karnikaram vibradvasa kanak kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randrar venuradara sudaya purnagopa vrundair vrindavanyam swapada ramanam prarvishad gita kirtihi. How does this personal supreme personality of Godhead look? If you see a person and you've heard about him before, then you'll recognize him, right? Suddenly, somebody comes in front of you and you never ever heard about him, never even heard any description about him, haven't seen his photograph, you have seen his painting or anything, you won't recognize him, right? So, Srimad Bhagavatam gives us perfect description of the Lord so that eventually, should you have the great honor, privilege and fortune to meet the Lord personally, you should know which is the Asli Krishna and which is the Nakli Krishna. I'll come to that later. The Asli Krishna. Braha Pidam Natarvar Vapahu, wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head. It's right there. You can see. Blue Kinakara flowers on his ears. A yellow garment as brilliant as gold. And the Vaijayantim garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe, the creator of our Brahma Sampradaya, temporarily forgot this look. He forgot what his old personal Lord looked like. Here it is stated very clearly. What? There is Krishna. He's very beautiful. How is he dressed? With a yellow garment as brilliant as gold. Brahma saw. There is Krishna. He's dressed, brilliant garment of gold. He's got a Vaijayantin mala. He's holding a flute. He's tucked in his dhoti there. His footprints, all of you remember his footprints? They're very unique. Just like our fingerprints are very unique. His footprints are very unique. What are the signs? When he puts his foot down on Raman Reti, there is a conch shell. Now, none of our footprints have any conch shells. So if anybody says, I am God, all right, dear sir, please put your footprint on the sand or on a piece of paper with ink on it. Let me see if there's a conch shell there. There won't be any conch shell. There won't be a flag there. There won't be any club there. You see. Nothing of the nature of God is in any of us in full. We are very tiny, 1/10,000 of a tip of a hair. And yet, several people say, I am Krishna. So we'll talk about the Asli and the Nakli God also in a few minutes. But we must know what is the real McCoy, as they say in America. We must know who is the real Krishna so that we are never fooled. And that is why Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, has got nearly 12,000 shlokas. Nearly half of the 24,000 shlokas. So half of the Bhagavatam is on Krishna. Brahmaji, such a brilliant personality who got the knowledge right from the beginning. Tene brahmaradaya adikave muyamti atsuraya tejo vare mrudam yata milimayo yatra trisagro musha damna svena sadani rastakuvakam satyam param dhimahi. He got knowledge of satyam dhimahi. He got the knowledge of the absolute truth, satyam param dhimahi, straight in his heart. Remember, our knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness comes from our heart. And then it goes to the brain. Where is it written? 15th chapter, 15th shlok. Lord Krishna himself says, what does he say? Anybody remember? Sarvasya chaham radisanni vishto smutir gnan apohanancha vedesya sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krudved. Right? So, Krishna says, that I give you knowledge. Just like he gave to Brahma, he gives you also knowledge. Where? Next door. Paramatma is right next to the Jivatma. And there's a direct transfer. There's no need for any telephone connection line. There's no need for any mobile line. He's just next door. He's sitting next to each other. And he gives us beautiful knowledge, remembrance, and he sometimes gives us forgetfulness also. Why does he give us forgetfulness? Sometimes we suffer and we don't want to remember the suffering all our lifetime, isn't it? We want to be sure that we are happy. Why do people come to this world at all? Yesterday I attended a very nice function. There was a gentleman, I think everybody here knows Amitabh Bachchan. And Amitabh Bachchan was there on the stage. Practically everybody came to see him. But the function was about a book release of a friend of mine, Dwarka Prasad Agarwal, friend of Anil Agarwal. Anil, are you here? No, he's not here. It was too late at night by the time they finished. So, Amitabh Bachchan gave an example that why he asked his father, why the hell did you create me? Why was I born? His father, as you know, was a great poet. And his father was no doubt offended when a son asks his father, why did you do this? So he left a small poem on his bed and then went for his early morning walk at 4 a.m. When Amitabh Bachchan got up in the morning, he was a very poor boy, actually, Amitabh Bachchan. I remember his first movie when it came to Bombay, I saw it. It was a Hindi movie. It was about an angry young man. After the movie, I saw him again in a turf club. There was a reception, wedding reception. And somehow somebody invited him also. Very thin, very tall chap. I remember him. And his ill-fitting, like Charlie Chaplin, he had big floppy trousers and a very tight-fitting. I'm sure he borrowed that suit from somebody. And Amitabh Bachchan looked shamelessly everywhere. Anybody saw me in that movie? And I happened to have seen him. So since then, we know each other a little bit. So here's Amitabh Bachchan. He says to his father, why did you create me? His father wrote this beautiful poem. He says, well, if every father, I'm trying to remember the exact word because it was in Hindi and I'm speaking in English. Beautifully he wrote, because his father was a poet, that if every father asks the son, do you want to be born? Then it is worthwhile writing, saying what you said. Now, when your son is to be born, first ask him. And then you create your son, okay? And similarly, he told about his forefathers also. That the grandfather forgot to ask about my father forgot to ask me, and so here I am. You see? But here is Brahma, the supreme creator of this universe. He's like a chief engineer. And he has forgotten his own creator, just as much as we have forgotten Krishna, our own creator. He forgot also. He's playing a role. Last week, if you remember, Vishwarup Prabhu, Dr. Vishwarup, gave a beautiful Bhagavatam class in which he says that, he said words to this effect, that Lord Brahma actually was put Brahma Vimohan. Vimohan means he was put into illusion. Actually, Brahma is not illusion, but just like an actor is put on a stage and then he behaves as if, you know, he's got in an accident and he's forgotten everything and he doesn't remember his name, his family, his address or anything. But he's an actor. He acts beautifully. Similarly, Brahma forgot this, you see, by Yogamaya. He was playing a part. He was prepared to even be treated like a fool by everybody. Now here is a case where we have forgotten our own God. We have forgotten our own creator. It is by the mercy of Prabhupada ji, we have the Bhagavad Gita as it is. We have this Bhagavatam. And therefore, we can remember Krishna. Let's dwell more deeply into this subject. Okay? So, let's see what further comes up. First, we must understand from Krishna book, page number 7, the advent of Lord Krishna. You understand? Advent means appearance of Lord Krishna. Remember, God is not born. We are born. We have how many bodies? Anybody remember? We have 5 bodies. First, our first body is Anna Maya Kosh. Anna, food, Maya, temporary. Kosh means covering. Where? In the womb of the mother. How? By a cord. The food that the mother takes, it reaches part of it to the baby in the womb. So that builds up later on the milk, etc. The baby drinks and so on and so forth. Grows up. So Anna, food, body. Second body we have is which one? Pranmaya Kosh. Breath of life. Third? Manamaya Kosh. Mind body. Mind comes before intellect. Then the fourth one is Gyanmaya Kosh, which is the intellect. Now, what's the difference between mind and intellect? Mind is the controller of the senses. We'll come more into that matter of senses. Whereas intelligence is to distinguish. Vivek in Sanskrit means what is to be done and what is not to be done. By intelligence, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, I should be doing that. The mind usually is the reverse. The mind says, oh, come on, have one drink. Come on, eat this lovely, what is it called? Tandoori chicken or whatever. You see? It's very tasty. Everybody is eating, why aren't you eating? But the intellect says, wait a minute. If you drink once, you'll drink again and again and again. Very shortly, your liver will become a cirrhosis of the liver. And you'll have tremendous loss of memory, etc. That's there in the 2.54 Bhagavad Gita. So, the mind should be controlled by the intellect. And the final body is Sat-Chit Anand Kosh. Sat-Chit Anand Kosh. Now, Sat, eternal truth. Chit, eternal knowledge. Kosh, covering. Sat-Chit Anand. Anand is bliss. Now, where is our spiritual body? We have got this material body. This is called Deha. Deha means the one which will die. Whereas our spiritual body doesn't die. It is left in the spiritual world, somewhat like left luggage. You go to an airport or somewhere and you got a lot of luggage. What do? Very often you leave it in a left luggage room. So our spiritual body is there. Each one of us has a spiritual body. But we have separated ourselves from the spiritual body. It's like, as I often give the example of kismis. In Hindi we say kismis, dried grapes. Moment you put these dried grapes in water overnight, what happens? It becomes again full. Similarly, by chanting the holy name of the Lord in this yuga, Kaliyuga, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. 3.5 crore times, that's all. Not much. It'll take you only 55.5 years, 16 rounds a day. I've calculated it. So, just start straight away. And if you don't have 55 years to live, like us who are old people, we should chant more. Anil, Hare Krishna. So, I was talking about your wonderful function last night. You missed it. So, advent of Lord Krishna, what happens? Srila Prabhupada says that a saintly person will tolerate all kinds of miserable conditions. See, we will always get certain amount of misery. Why? Anybody know why we will always get some misery in this world? Because this world is dukhalayam. Dukh means misery. And alayam means warehouse. This world is a warehouse of misery. Okay. So, the warehouse, what do you get? What is inside the warehouse only? So, dukkha alayam hai. But the saintly person will tolerate any type of dukkha. A learned man can discharge his duties without waiting for favorable circumstances. A learned man, intelligent man, will always discharge his duties. Like a doctor, for instance, you go to the doctor is driving on the street with his car and he sees another person has an accident. He will discharge his duties. Why? Because he has taken an oath. At the time when he graduates, any doctors here? Any doctors here? None of them. They are all sleeping, I guess. Hare Krishna. Only me? Okay. Thank you. So, but I was talking about a medical doctor. I am a doctor of engineering. Give me an engine, I'll repair it. But I can't repair men. I'm trying to repair the soul. So, the doctor has to jump out of the car. He has to attend to the person who is injured. And that is his duty. Circumstances are very bad, but he has to attend to that. A heinous person like Kans will act in any sinful way. He's not interested in doing anything good. He's interested in doing everything by a sinful method. And a devotee can sacrifice anything to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here is a definition of who is a devotee. Somebody may say, oh, you are a devotee. But are we willing to sacrifice everything and anything for the service of Krishna? I think some of us want to reserve, you know. No. I don't want to sacrifice all my money. I don't want to sacrifice all my time and energy. There are four things you have to give up when you want God. God says this. A. Give up 50% of your wealth. Who said that? Who wrote it down? Rupa Goswami. Where is it written? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But how many people? There are very few. There are some people. Right now I was reading in the internet. Warren Buffett gave $31 billion of his $62 billion. I don't know whether he read it or whether some Krishna conscious person told him or Paramatma within his heart. Even in India, I heard last night one multi-billionaire say that he is giving up a lot of his money in charity. That makes the rest of the money clean. This is laundering spiritually. There are two types of money laundering. One is these crooks who do it through BCCI bank or whatever bank it was. Of course, Bank of England caught that crook, Khan, I think his name was. He was my neighbor, incidentally. Sometimes, you know, darkness and light are next to each other. So, same maker, chamber number 3. Anil also had his office there. I also had an office there. And downstairs on the ground floor was BCCI. And I was just on top of him. So, it happens. Life is like that. You may have a crook right next to you and you won't know it. We didn't know. We thought it's a great bank. But it was the world's number one money laundering bank. Now, there's another spiritual way of laundering your money and your wealth, and that is by giving donation. Where is it written? In the Shastras. What does Shastra mean? Shastra means to bring you back to the right path. If somebody is going on a wrong path or doesn't know where he's going, like most of us, then it requires a pure devotee of the Lord, like Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or Lord Shiva. All of them have formed their own spiritual schools, known as Brahma, Madhava Sampradaya, then Lord Shiva Sampradaya, and so on. But it requires a pure devotee to deliver this message to us. So let us go further into this wonderful aspect and let us understand what Lord Krishna does when he comes to this earth. He comes here. Why? Because he's like a, you know, this governor, Prabhupada gave a beautiful example. Once the governor of Bombay decided to go to jail. Because if Mahatma Gandhi goes to jail, why shouldn't I go to jail? Who said that? An English governor. And this English governor, this was British India at that time, of course, in Prabhupada's time. So he decided to know what is Mahatma Gandhi doing inside Yerwada jail in Pune. So he went there in the jail. Now what happened is, Mahatma Gandhi knew, okay, this is the governor of Bombay. At that time it was called presidency. But many of the other jailbirds didn't know. So what did the other jailmates say? Aaj ye governor ka bhi din aa gaya. Usko bhi viceroy ne jail mein bhej diya. But actually he came on his own. Similarly, Lord Krishna comes to this earth. Our earth is the middle planet. Out of the 14 planetary systems, we are in the middle planet. What is the name of this planet? Anybody know? It is called Mrityulok. My God, what a name. Mrityu means death. Mrityulok means everything on this earth shall die. There is nobody who will ever be eternally remaining here. So let us resign to the idea that we shall definitely die. Now the question is, from now to our death, what shall we do? Of course, the best thing to do is to come here and have Bhagavatam classes. We just went through that. Nashta prayashu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti navati naishtiki. So what happens is, we can cleanse our soul, which is the real person. The body is not the real person. The body is going to die. And what happens to the body at the end, after death? It's a very important point. In the 87th chapter of the 10th canto, there is a verses, prayers of the personified Vedas. The Vedas take a personal form. And in that, the Vedas say that the body goes back to Mother Nature. Okay? Because Mother Nature provided us this body. So it goes back to the mother. Alright, but the soul belongs to Krishna, God. Why? Krishna says four times. What does he say in the Bhagavad Gita? He says, Am Braj Bit Pita. I am the seed giving father. So the soul's original creator is Krishna. Now, these things very often people forget. I'll give you an example. You all know and heard about Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was grandson of who? Anybody remember? Prahlad Maharaj. Now what did Krishna promise? It is a form of Narsingh Bhagwan. He promised that seven generations, I think, before and seven generation after, 14, no? They will have mukti. They will not be killed by me. They will be liberated. But do you know what happened? That Bali Maharaj is one of his sons, was a nasty fellow. He was an Asur, of course, but he has a lot of Asur girlfriends, Asuri girlfriends, I should say. And he had Asuri friends also. So they went picnicking and jolly making, etc., etc., as most Asurs do at night, throughout the night. That is stated in Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna says that those who enjoy the night means they sleep in the daytime, and the devotees sleep in the night and enjoy the daytime. That is one of the distinctions. So, this son of Bali Maharaj went to a place called Gandhamadan Parvat. And there he saw this rishi doing meditation. And they said, let's pull this rishi's beard a little bit. Let us fool around a little bit and make maza of this fellow. So, they started teasing the rishi. This rishi was in dhyan, you know. Little did they realize who this rishi was. This rishi was none other than Durvasa Muni. My God. Who's Durvasa Muni? He is the crowed expansion of Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva has to destroy, annihilate. I'll come to that annihilation in a minute. Now, to destroy anything, you need a certain amount of passion and you need a certain amount of anger. Supposing somebody wants to smash up someone, he's not going to say laughingly, "I love you," and then smash him up. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to get angry, get his fist together, and so on and so forth. So, Lord Shiva, at one time, as Nataraj, it is said, I don't know how true or how it is, but it is there in Shiva Purana. So his expansion was Durvasa Muni through Ansuyaji. You remember the story of Ansuya? Everybody knows Ansuya's story? Mandakini River near Chitrakoot. There was Ansuya. She was the greatest lady devotee ever. Even Sitaji went to learn from her. Sitaji got her some of Ansuyaji's jewelry also, which Ansuyaji's father had given. And what had happened was a very strange thing. These three great ladies, Lakshmi, wife of Vishnu, Parvati, wife of Shiva, and Saraswati, wife of Lord Brahma, they thought, who is this Ansuya? This Mrityulok creature, lady, how can she be greater than us? We were proud. What happens? Pride cometh before the fall. So they asked Narad Muni, of all people, Narad Muni, who is this Ansuya? So he said, she's the greatest devotee of the Lord, Vishnu. Lakshmi says, I am the greatest devotee of the Lord. That's why I am his wife. Most wives are very proud, no, sometimes. That I am so and so, so and so. Of course, they'll never tell the husband that you are very great and I am great because of you. It's the other way around. So, the thing that happened was, the three ladies went down to Ansuya just to check up, you know. Bharat Muni said, what are you doing? Don't try to test Ansuya. She's a great devotee. I don't know what will happen to you guys. But these three ladies decided to go, in any case, irrespective of the good advice of Narad Muni. And they saw this Ansuya is quite powerful. Better we send our husbands. So they sent their husbands to check up whether really she is the greatest devotee. Here comes Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. Because these husbands also, you know, after a certain time, they say, okay, okay, I'm going to do it. So when these ladies were pestering them, you must go and check up. How can it be that she's greater? So Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh came down. The same three gentlemen mentioned in this shlok. They came down to check Ansuya. And how did they check Ansuya? In a very mysterious way. Very strange way. They told Ansuya ji, Ansuya ji, we want to see you naked. My God. The same Ansuya who had received them so well, saying that you are Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, you have come to my place. And she gave nice prasad to them, nice place to sit, water, everything. Suddenly they turned around. Just imagine men coming to your house and asking the lady of the house, oh, very nice. Thank you for this nice water and nice meal you've given me. Now I want to see you naked. My God, Ansuya got a shock of her life. What sort of guys are you, yaar? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, you want to see me naked? All right, theek hai. Since you are my worshipable Lord, become one day old children, babies. And then the mother has no problem. She'll feed them. Correct? So they became one day old child. All three of them. After a few months, Lakshmiji is searching, where is Vishnu, Vishnu? Parvati is searching. Many, you know, wives are always, where are you? In the middle of the day, why? I'm in an office, middle of the day. Anyway. So, Saraswati is asking Brahma, where are you, where are you? No answer. Means the mobile is switched off. So, kya kare abhi? So, they again went down. Because they knew where to go. They'd been there before. And they went to Ansuya ji. Ansuya ji. Did you see our husbands by any chance? Yeah, these nice, lovely babies. My God, they got a shock of their life. Ye kaise ho gaya? She said, they wanted to test me and wanted to see me naked. Can you imagine? What sort of husband you've got here? You should tell your father. So, then they said, no, we want our husband back. Oh, you want your back? Take the babies. I don't mind. I'm not attached. No, not like babies. We want them complete, full men, or demigod, whatever. So, Krishna, what to do now? Narad Muni, see, ladies, when they, you told us not to test. So then Narad Muni comes. Yes, what can I do for you, ladies? See, Ansuya ji has made our husbands into small babies. She has the power to do that. We don't have the power to get them back into full form. What shall we do now? So Narad Muni said, oh, there is a solution. A pure devotee always has a solution. It's remarkable. Prabhupada used to have multiple problems all over the world, forming an international society for Krishna consciousness. Simultaneously, you could solve problems in Australia, USA, in India, everywhere, simultaneously. He had so much ability. Why? Because Krishna was directing him in the heart. Narad Muni said, look, just ask Ansuya ji that these three babies, they should give expansions, another set of babies to her. And they will then become full grown up. So they requested Ansuya ji, please, paon padho, sab kuch karo, lekin ye to karo mera kaam. Okay, Ansuya said, as long as I'm attached to these three babies, their new set comes, I don't mind. So a new set came. Vishnu's expansion was Dattatreya. And Lord Shiva's expansion was who? Our friend Durvasa Muni. And Brahma's expansion was Chandra. And then they all became big again and they offered obeisances, they offered apologies. And they said, Ansuya ji, we should never have tested you. We apologize. Ansuya said, no, what apology? Why? You provided me three wonderful children. I'm so happy. So that is how Durvasa Muni came in this world. Okay? That's the birth of Durvasa Muni. Now what has happened coming back to the son of who? Bali Maharaj. Do anybody know here the name of this son of Bali Maharaj? Any know the names? Devotees? You don't know? Okay. The son of Bali Maharaj is Dhenukasur. Okay. And Dhenukasur was a very strong, stout, wonderful, beautiful looking, from Asuri angle, of course. You know, these Asurs can be powerful fellows. And so Durvasa Muni was disturbed. And you know what happens when Durvasa Muni gets disturbed. Oh my God. Heavens will fall. And Durvasa Muni was disturbed in his samadhi. He said, who are you? Oh, you are coming from such a great family of Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. And you're doing this nonsense like an ass. May you become an ass. My God. And he converted all those who were with him as. So, Dhenukasur became an ass. That is the origin of the ass form of Dhenukasur. In Bhagavatam, you'll come across that later. Now, what happened? All those who came with Dhenukasur, all those wonderful Asuri girls and boys, Asurs, they also became asses. Because man is known by the company he keeps. You keep company of asses, you become an ass. Keep company of devotees, you become a devotee. Associate with devotees. That's what the Shastra says. So this is the origin of Dhenukasur. Okay. So one should never do anything unknowingly even. Just like Parikshit Maharaj. How did this whole Bhagavatam start? The Bhagavatam started because Parikshit Maharaj wore the crown. He found it in the basement where his grandfathers had collected huge amount of jewelry. when they killed all the asuras, they didn't wear that jewelry and crowns of all the asuras. I'm talking about Mahabharata. After the Mahabharata, there were lots of people killed, millions of them. Many of them were kings on the opposite side. And this side also, both Pandava and Kauravas. So all the standard practice in those days, that all the gold and jewelry and everything from the battlefield was taken away and put into the treasury of the victor king. Arjun, Yudhishthir got all that gold and all, but Yudhishthir, you know how he is. No, no, no. We shall not touch the gold of all these asuras. We shall put it in the basement and lock it up. One day, Parikshit Maharaj was inquisitive. You know, Parikshit Maharaj is Parikshit. Jo pariksha karne wala hota hai, wo parikshit hota hai. So he was inquisitive. Pariksha karte the. He was always checking. So he went to check the basement. And there, what did he find? Whose crown? The crown of the king of Magad, Jarasan, the greatest king of India. Yesterday I was talking to the top historian of our country. Not yesterday, sorry, day before yesterday. Yesterday was Amitabh Bachchan thing I told you about. But day before yesterday I was somewhere else. And he's the top historian of India, one Mr. Dubey, Professor Dubey. And he was telling me that this man, this great king, Alexander the Great, Sikandar in Hindi, he was defeated in India actually. He went back, he tried to go back home to Greece, but he died on the way. And he said, you know what killed him eventually? Machar, mosquito. He got malaria. India is a great place. We don't need weapons to kill anyone. Enemies can be killed by machars in this country. Not that we want to make machars our pets, but anyway, it happens that Krishna has given us machars also. So we must take advantage of everything in the use of defending ourselves, including machars. Of course, if we can give the intelligence to machars to know the difference between Indians and our so-called enemies, that would be perfect. If we can software the machars' mind, you know. But unfortunately, we've not been able to do that yet. We'll soon be able to do it. I'll ask my son-in-law. He's a software engineer. So, Lord Krishna, he comes only to give pleasure to the devotees, which is that shloka in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tada sajamya aham. I come to give pleasure to my devotees. That's principally why he comes here. And incidentally, he also comes with his expansions. Do you know, in the page number 2 of Krishna book, para number 4, it's Prabhupada writes that all the expansions of Krishna, including Narsi Bhagwan, Vamandev, and Hayagriv, and what have you, all the expansions of Krishna came to kill all the asuras. You see? For instance, there was a cow, not cow, bull. Aristasur, right? Now, who's the natural enemy of a bull? A lion. So, who killed Aristasur? Not our Krishna. He would never, never kill a bull or a cow. He loves them. It was Narsingh Bhagwan who killed them. Okay? It's there, it's there. If you have missed the point, please read it. So, he comes, but the important thing is, it is Krishna's consciousness, not our consciousness. I'll explain. See, most of us are bodily conscious. We are conscious, I am so-and-so, so-and-so. I come from so-and-so family. In my case, it is the Desai family, so-called. All right. But actually, really it's not so. When I die, there is no more. So, we have to see from his vision, what he wants to give pleasure to his devotees. Okay. Now, Krishna's method of getting pleasure, we are talking about how Krishna gets pleasure. If you understand that, we become Krishna conscious. Remember this. We must become Krishna conscious in this human form of life. We cannot become Krishna conscious in any other form of life. We've just gone through the whole paraphernalia of all sorts of lives, dogs and cats and animals and birds and bees and all that. Now we've come to human form of life. Now this human being can understand and become Krishna conscious. Because that is the epitome, the final thing which you must become. If anybody's gone to sleep, please wake up. Okay, I know you are all in samadhi, some of you. But it's my duty to wake you up. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's the alarm clock. So, Krishna gives pleasure and takes pleasure by four varieties of methods. Remember this. First is transcendental pleasure. His pleasure spiritualizes our senses. Just like a father is very happy if his son or daughter becomes spiritualized, becomes very happy. Then the father becomes happy or the mother becomes happy, isn't it? How can you expect a mother or a father to be happy if the child is not happy? So that is the first thing. So he spiritualizes our soul and then he gets transcendental pleasure. The second method is that he gives us prasadam. If we offer anything to him, cooked food, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya priyachati. Now, many of you have been to so many temples in the world, right? And very often you get one spoon or one dana or something in a temple, ji prasad hai aap le lo. But that doesn't satisfy us. Why? Because that pujari has not offered in love and affection. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita precisely, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta priyachati. Please offer it to me with love and affection. He is not after your flower or your one leaf or some fruit. He's got lots of fruits of every universe. But he wants your love and affection, which is transmitted through that flower or that fruit or that leaf, patram pushpam, or that spoon of water. When these pujaris who are sort of ritualistic fellows earning money and just passing time there in a temple, when they offer you prasad, it doesn't satisfy us. But here, if they offer you one spoon of sweet rice, you know, you want the whole bowl. Why? Because that will satisfy us. That is the way you can know whether it is real prasad or not real prasad. I told you earlier, real Krishna and not real Krishna. Okay, so first way is offer it to that gentleman and take it back as prasad and see whether it tastes different. All prasad tastes different. Am I correct? Everybody has experienced this? Even the lowly khichdi on a Sunday morning here tastes totally different, divine. Okay, so similarly, kirtan or music offered with pure love and affection, your hair should stand on end. Your body should shiver. So if you go to some temple, they do dang, 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 and they do an aarti, and then you come out, and that's it. But you, no hair stands on end. You don't feel like dancing. Your feet are not jumping up and down. But here, if there is kirtan, you will feel, you know, the vibrations. So that is real kirtan. That is also Krishna's mercy. Okay, you should know how the mercy of Krishna comes to you. And why mercy is required? Because mercy is the food of our soul. Just as H2O, water, is required by our tongue and our whole body, because we are 71% composed of water in any case. So we have to replenish about 2 liters of water every day. So mercy is very important. Second, Krishna's way of giving you pleasure or having pleasure for himself is by remembering him in separation. Particularly in separation, such as the gopis had that separation when Krishna went to Mathura. They were crying and crying every day. But what were they doing also? They were making garlands every day for him. Supposing Krishna turns up then, we must have our garlands ready. That is why even today, we see these gopis expansions there in the next chamber. They are making garlands. Every day they are making garlands for Krishna. Third, Krishna takes great pleasure in reviving our Krishna consciousness. This whole 14th chapter, 13th and 14th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, is on this one subject. Only on one subject. Brahma, please revive your Krishna consciousness. That is what Krishna is saying. I'll show you techniques how to revive your Krishna consciousness. And that is what he shows in the 14th chapter. And Brahma accepts, yes, I'd forgotten you, Brahma Vimohan, Leela, and now I've got it back. So why we come to this temple? For only one reason. We have to revive our Krishna consciousness, which was originally there, but we've forgotten it. And the fourth reason is, Krishna says, I'll give you, and I will also take pleasure if you associate with devotees. So, Krishna's, when he says, Paritranayam Sadhunam, there are four ways in which Krishna enjoys. And Vinashaya Duskritam, he does not say that I'll send these Duskritams or the demoniac people to hell forever. No. He says, he is going to revive them also. He's like Putna. She came to murder Krishna with poison on the tip of her breast. But Krishna accepted her as a nurse because her consciousness was that of a nurse. Though she tried to murder him. Whereas, if somebody tries to murder me, I wouldn't leave it. I would take a sword and finish him off. But that is because we are Kshatriyas. We are born like that in the bodily form. But that's not what Krishna does. Krishna actually gives liberation to even a murderer, provided that murderer becomes Krishna conscious by offering service to Krishna. So there are four ways in which Krishna annihilates also. That is 7.15 in the Bhagavad Gita. So you can read on your own how he kills. Because you are not part of that Asura team. You are all come here, you see. So you are part of the Krishna conscious group. There is lots and lots on this shloka. There is a very beautiful book available downstairs called Saratha Darshini. And here, one of our greatest acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, has stated some beautiful things about this Lord Brahma's... I'll just read out one or two because there are lots and lots marked here. Again, fearing such objections from Krishna, Brahma spoke this verse. I cannot estimate the greatness of your transcendental body. See, there is always a doubt. Are, Krishna is like one of us only. He was born in a jail in Mathura. And he looked like he was moving around like a friend of Arjuna. He then married 16,108 wives. My God. Even the king of Saudi Arabia, 550 only. But anyway. But that was to unite whole of Saudi Arabia. Bedouin fellows, you know. So married and then disposable wives. So, just like disposable napkins. So, I mean, that's a culture of those people. But Krishna, no. He provided each one beautiful palaces of Chintamani, touch gold. And now one South Indian fellow, I forget his name, Vasudevan, great scientist, has gone, he's an oceanologist, right? So in Dwarka, he had gone down deep into the water and he's filmed actually Dwarka, which was buried under the water. So there was a Dwarka and there is proof of that. Now here, Lord Krishna says that he has a transcendental body. We know that Krishna's body is only Satchitanand, but he is free to decide to make us see him. That's the point. Just like if you go to a president of India, you can't just barge into his room, you know. I think it's what, Pranab Mukherjee now. Yeah. So you can't say, hey, Pranab Mukherjee, I'm coming. Or why don't you come here? You know, there are people who say, show me your God. I mean, how is that? You can't ask President Obama, come here from your White House. I want to see you. Just imagine, that's a tiny little speck of a particle in this whole big universe, this earth. And that too, on that there is Washington, D.C. And that too, there is a small country if you see the whole universe. So, Krishna, the Lord, universe of, I mean, the Lord of all universes, you can't order him around. But by love and affection, he will come on his own. And how does he come, you know? A pure devotee gives pran pratishtha. He invites Krishna to come in the deity form. We are not stupid, Prabhupada used to say. In America, he used to tell these Americans, we are not stupid to pray to a piece of marble. We are praying to Krishna. How do we do this? In the Shastra, there is actually a perfect description of what Krishna looked like. So on that basis, an authorized sculpture makes the murti. There is a difference between a murti and a statue. You know, when this Krishna came from Jaipur at the Octroi Naka in Bombay, they wanted to levy octroi when we got these deities. And fortunately, Mahaprabhu, our Mahaprabhu Das, he's not here today morning, he got these deities all the way from Jaipur in a jeep. And 5 o'clock in the morning, he tells me, I don't have money for the octroi. The octroi fellow is asking money now. I said, black or white? So he says, he wants official money, white. So I said, achha, theek hai. Because you know, you have to do all these sort of things. So I said, give him the line. Then this octroi wala said, tumhi statue ghoon ela, Marathi, you know. You brought a statue. You know, there is a section here in the octroi statute book. So much octroi has to be paid. I value so much, you have to pay this much. I said, yeda zala ka? I told him in Marathi. I think some of you don't understand Marathi. Yeda zala means, are you a stupid idiot? Tumhi kai devasun paisa magnar ka? Are you going to ask money from God? You have to give money to God, yeah. So you give him, you know. So he said, what? Early morning, 5 o'clock. I said, this is Krishna. This is Kai Krishna. This is a statue. I said, you go and see inside the box. You'll find Krishna there. He says, really? I said, you will get the greatest of, you're committing the greatest of sin now. Early morning, I fired him. And he let go. One side Mahaprabhu, the other side me. We never pay money for these deities. Got them free. He said, Krishna. And I fired him 5 o'clock in the morning. Of course, my Marathi, I learnt on the streets of Bombay, playing cricket. So you know how that quality of Marathi is really bad. We've got few Maharashtrians here. When you learn Marathi on the streets, you learn with all bad words. I don't want to say it here, sitting in a Vyasasana. And all of it is targeted to whom? To the empire. You know, the kids. You gave me out wrongly, and then the choicest of bad words come out. So that's how I started in the morning. I recalled all my old Marathi that I knew. And this fellow, he got so upset, he told Mahaprabhu, just get out of here. I don't want to hear any more galis in the morning. Sometimes we have to do all sorts of things for Krishna. Anyway, so that is why we say that this is Krishna only. Pran pratishtha ho gaya hai. Pran has entered into the Krishna statue. You can talk to Krishna. Do you know that? And you'll get reply answers also from him. Do you know this? You will get the solutions also from God. And if you are in great distress, like Draupadi, just raise your hands and say, Krishna, I am yours, now please solve my problem. I don't have enough saris. Most women say that in any case to the husband. But we are not Krishna. So anyway, but the poor ladies, poor Draupadi was in a very, very precarious condition. All the five husbands were like important. All Bhishma Pita, such a great personality, grandfather, sitting there and couldn't protect his daughter-in-law. And he had to suffer because action and reaction are equal and opposite in this material world. Bound to happen. Every arrow in Bhishma's bed of arrows represented one sari. Do you know that? It's calculation. Krishna is a banya. He calculates everything. Exactly. Wahi maap se hoga aapko. As you sow, so shall you reap. Holy Bible says. Krishna is a pure banya ka ladka. You see, in Mathura, in Nanda Maharaj. So, everything happens exactly that way. Now, same thing I told about Dhenukasur. Dhenukasur was to be killed, but Krishna did not kill him. He gave a promise to Prahlad Maharaj, 7th generation, and this fellow was the 4th generation. So, he sends whom? Balramji, aaj aap usko maar do na. See, and Balramji killed Dhenukasur. That is why Krishna did not kill him. Though he promises in the Bhagavad Gita, I will kill all these asuras. But in this particular case, he gave a proxy. Okay, you can act on my behalf. So similarly, we have to act on behalf of Krishna. And then only we will go home back to God. That is Krishna consciousness. We have to act on behalf of Krishna. That's all. Under the instructions of a guru. And your guru must not be a fake. I told you about fake Krishna. In this Bhagavatam also, there was a king. What was his name? Pundarika? Pandraka, right? And he had a friend who was a king of Kashi. And what this fellow had done, he had attached two more hands. And he became a four-handed Vasudev. He said, I am the real Vasudev. So you should know that even in Krishna's time, when Krishna personally was present, there was a Nakli Krishna. So what about now? You've got all sorts of Nakli politicians and Nakli this and Nakli that. Everybody. In fact, I read in the newspapers there are Nakli policemen also going to somebody's house and then so-called arresting and then they vanish with all the money. So one has to be very careful in this world. Associate only with devotees. And that is why it's very wonderful to see you all this morning. And now I already overstepped my time limit. But thank you for coming. If there are any questions on this, there are a lot of other things we can discuss later. But we have to give 10 minutes time as I have instructed by the authorities here. So just to summarize quickly, even Brahma, Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. Did you know Vishnu is a surname? Just like somebody's name, here we have Agarwal. There are millions of Agarwals. They all came from Agrasen. There was a king called Agrasen of Hisar. You know that, Anil? No, you don't know. Anyway, at least I have told you your roots. So, there was a king called Agrasen. Great king in Hisar. You know where is Hisar? That also you don't know. Haryana, acha, you know. It's very near Delhi. Huh? Acha, acha, they are fighting. Always, this world is full of fights. Even in the house, husband and wife fight. Even children will fight. Brother and sister will fight. Because this is a Kaliyug, no? The age of quarrel and disturbance. You can't have disturbance without a fight. So there's bound to be fight. So, in this world, we have only one goal. Please don't miss this focus. You may earn money, you may earn degrees, you may do whatever you want in life, have jobs, whatever you do, be happy with that. But don't forget your ultimate goal. I have to go home back to Godhead. I want to tell a story about my friend. I hope I am telling the truth. I went to his house. He called me for dinner. And his 93 or 94-year-old grandfather, wonderful gentleman. I think you must be wearing his bandi. Same color bandi was there. I mean, it's not his, right? No, anyway. So, but you come in the same black bandi. And he used to dress himself, 94-year-old gentleman. Am I correct? He used to dress himself. And he decided to go to Calcutta from Bombay. And then from Calcutta, I think he took a plane to Delhi. Look at this gentleman's consciousness, wonderful Krishna consciousness. He took a plane to Delhi on his own. That does not inform anybody in the family. Am I correct? Correct me if I'm wrong, huh? I don't want to tell a lie here. So, he goes to Delhi. Then from Delhi, he goes somehow to Vrindavan. I think it must be in a taxi or something. Within, what, 5.5 hours of reaching Vrindavan, he passes away, dies. Correct? And nobody in the family knows that he's living or dead. Nobody knows where he is. They start searching. Bahuji kidhar gaya? Bahuji kidhar gaya? And Bahuji's gone upstairs. So, then everybody, after all the intelligent, nice, loving family, they find out that Bahuji was in Calcutta. He went to the airport. Airport mein se kahan gaye? Delhi gaye. Delhi se kahan gaye? Vrindavan gaye. They all come to Vrindavan. Then the Brijbasis tell that, aaye the Bahuji aapke. Wo to yahan chale gaye upar. Krishna le gaye unko. Are, what did you do? Hum log ne hamara dharma kiya. We took care of him. Am I right? They cremated him in the Yamuna. Correct? So then Anil asked, now what am I supposed to do? Kriya hoti na baad mein. Whether to go to Gaya or what to do. Yahan kuch nahi hota hai. Once you die in Vrindavan, you are one of us, they told. Hamare jaise brajvasi ho gaye ho. Hum log ne sab kar diya. Aapko kuch nahi karna hai. Jao aapka London mein. Correct? Yeah. So that is death. You must know how to live and you must know how to die. And we must learn by example of great people. And this is how to die. Art of dying. Not only art of living. Art of living the other gentleman is teaching, you know. The Bangalore gentleman. I met him the other day. What happened was, our Radhanath Maharaj got an invitation. Radhanath Maharaj got an invitation. What was the invitation? It was a beautiful invitation. We are having a seminar on the subject Krishna as CEO, Chief Executive Officer. Would you kindly address us? Radhanath Maharaj called me and he said, look, I cannot attend this one. This is a wonderful subject. Krishna is CEO. Would you please go on my behalf? I said, I'm not going to go alone. I've just come out of Chinmayanand Swami's Mayavadi. This one. Jane ka. Karenge hum. I want Shyamanand Prabhu with me. So Shyamanand Prabhu and myself, we went to Bangalore. And from there, it's about 19 odd kilometers. Wonderful person, wonderful place. Art of living, they really know the art of living. And then we had a seminar on Krishna as CEO. So there were three main speakers. One was from their group, obviously, who was a professor from Mysore University. So he gave a very nice talk, why Krishna is CEO. Then I gave from the perspective because I had been a CEO for a long time. So I understand what is the CEO. And how Krishna is CEO of the whole universe. Apna to bahut chota hai. Teeny teeny atomic thing. And another was some other person. At the end, this gentleman, Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, he invited me for lunch. So I was happy to join him. Wonderful person. At heart, pure divine soul. So then he asked me, why did Radhanath Maharaj not come? I said, he was, I don't know, he's otherwise indisposed or something. He had some other commitment. But I am a very poor substitute of his. I've come. So he said, no, I enjoyed. All I did was I took bits and pieces from Prabhupada's books. We made a nice presentation, Shyamananda Prabhu made, and we quoted from Shankaracharya. Actually, what happened was, I quoted more from Shankaracharya than anyone else. Because all the audience there were all followers of Adi Shankaracharya. So what did I start with? I started with the Gita Mahatmya. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrasya Namani Yani Karmyapekam Tasya Devasya Seva. Shankaracharya says, Ekam Shastram. There is only one Shastra. There is only one spiritual literature. Ekam Shastram. Devaki Putra Gitam. That is the Gita, song of God, of Devaki Putra, Gitam. Eko Devo, there is only one God. Eko Devo, Devaki Putra Eva. Again he repeats, Devaki Putra Eva. In Sanskrit, if you repeat over and over again, means you are establishing it as a fact. Ekam Shastram, Devaki Putra Gitam, Eko Devo, Devaki Putra Evam. Eko Mantrasya, there is only one mantra. Eko mantra, namani yani, his name is the mantra. Karma apekam tasya devasya seva. There is no need to do seva of anyone else, only of Krishna. So everybody started saying, oh my God, this fellow knows Adi Shankaracharya's thing. I said, I'll give you another one of Adi Shankaracharya. So I kept on quoting only Adi Shankaracharya. First they accepted me, ki ye to apna wala aadmi hai. You know, Marathi playing cricket on the street, then you become street smart. So, so then I said, come on, guys, I'm one of you. Now I will start teaching you real Krishna consciousness. And then I started quoting Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji. Could you give the mic to her?
Hare Krishna. Most beautiful lecture, very enlightening. There's a little doubt in my mind which I want to ask you. You said this deha, this body is given by Mother Nature, and when we die it goes back. And our soul is given by Krishna.
Correct.
As you said, bij given, he is the seed giving father.
He says in Bhagavad Gita.
Seed given father. Then who gives the mind, man, buddhi, ahankar?
Beautiful question. Wonderful question. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, because see, we have to go by authority. Just like in a Supreme Court, there is a Supreme Court judge. He's the authority. Do you know that? So if he gives a judgment, there's no need for any Bombay High Court or City Civil Court judge to say anything. He'll just repeat what the Supreme Court judge said. So our Supreme Court, Supreme Judge is Krishna, authority. Okay. He says that this mind and this intellect, you're talking about man buddhi. If you combine these two, it is called chitta in Sanskrit. Okay? Chitta is composed of two components, mind and intellect. Mind is where all the senses meet. And that is like the senses like horses. They'll run here, there, everywhere. They're monkeys, you know, not horses even. And you are lagam hai na, wo controller is the mind, supposed to be. And the intellect is the guy sitting as a passenger, telling the driver, do this, go here, go there. Now, the material mind and the material intellect comes from false ego. I am. Okay? Now, ego is a Latin word. Ego, go to the Latin English dictionary, you'll find. It says, I am. Ego means I am. Now, the problem is, we have identified with the wrong I am. There are two I ams. I, capital I, A-M, am, okay? One, because we are in a bodily consciousness. How did we come in a bodily consciousness? When the baby is born, he has no consciousness. Actually, his eyes are also not working for 4 days. And then he suddenly finds, oh, all these people are kissing me, hugging me, giving me nice food. Ah, I'm so happy. Sometimes he cries also, give me more, give me more. So they become bodily conscious from childhood, all of us. And that is where the mind is developed. I'll explain to you further, in more detail. Two types of food you take. You take grapes. Now, grape physically has a juice, fiber, etc., right? And it has a taste. There is no meter to measure taste, but you can measure the weight of a grape. That's how it's sold. So many rupees a kilo, 100 rupees a kilo or whatever, right? But there's taste. So taste is more subtle, correct? There is aroma also sometimes, correct? Aroma, you can't measure aroma, but it is there. Like you go through a rose garden, you'll only smell roses, right? Or garbage, you'll only smell garbage, okay? That is called more subtle. So we are going gradually into more subtle, okay? Now, the food for the mind is a subtle part of the food, okay? And the body requires the gross part of the food. Now the same grapes, fresh grapes, is good for the mind. But usko sadao, ferment karo, make it into wine, and drink lots of wine. What happens? That same wine, you'll get a big body, no doubt, because the gross part of the wine is from the grapes. It's a healthy thing. So you get very strong body, okay. But what happens in the mind and intellect? They get corrupted because they have been fermented, that thing has been fermented. Then you get drunk. You can't even walk straight. You can't drive straight. Create accidents, isn't it? The same grapes. So by the mind wants alcohol, grape juice, fermented as grape wine. Wo acha taste hai. Because the mind wants to forget the bad things of this world. Believe me, these drunks, I had to deal with Alcoholic Anonymous. I've gone to that also. There's a beautiful group called Merciful Group. And that is, I took Maharaj also to the alcoholics. And these alcoholics, anybody has been to Alcoholic Anonymous? No. They are at Woodhouse Road, you know, YMCA, YWCA. You've been there? You've been that holy name church?
I went to the Portuguese
church, okay. Mainly in these churches, they have these alcoholic and mainly, you know. So there, what happens there? You want to know what happens in Alcoholic Anonymous? They disclose their mind. They disclose. The mind is closed. But when they open up their mind, alcoholics, and then you have to listen to all that nonsense. But anyway, so it's like a psychiatrist treatment, you know. So psychiatrist puts you on a couch, and he makes notes, and you have to pay a huge amount, of course. But then he just listens to what you say. So you disclose your mind. And by disclosing your mind, very often, you open up your mind. And then treatment can take place. All right. I'm going deeper and deeper into the subject of mind. Or is this enough? Okay, thank you. That means you got a mind full of things. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Enjoy your breakfast.
Hare Krishna. Hare